Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for gathering us here today. We ask that you would bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I'm sure you've called on by now, today is St. Patrick's Day, March the 17th. It's the same day every year because historically it is known as the anniversary of the day that St. Patrick died. Now, there's a lot of myths and legends that go on with this day, and some symbols go around, because it's not just about the Irish people, but that's where it came from. And as we heard in the children's sermon, there, you know, it's not really about leprechauns. Leprechauns actually came from a cultic myth that somehow got attached to St. Patrick's Day. But there is a lot about St. Patrick himself that may or may not be true. For example, St. Patrick is known as the one that came to Ireland and cleaned out all the snakes. He stood on a mountain and drove all the snakes into the sea. If this is the case, he needs to come to Lexington. I know Glenn agrees, because snakes are the devil, let's be honest. Says so in the Bible, it's in Genesis. But the truth is, according to archaeological research, there have never been any snake-like fossils found in the Emerald Isles. It's on an island, and so no snakes came in there. And when it was on land, it was frozen land, and reptiles don't generally like frozen. And so there's never been any snakes in Ireland we're going to visit. And also, I mean, one of the ways that we celebrate St. Patrick's Day is Irish whiskey and stout beer. Well, that doesn't have much to do with St. Patrick either, but, you know, whatever. With all the parades and things like that, people just needed a reason to celebrate. But one thing that is connected to St. Patrick, now whether or not he actually did this, we don't know, is the use of the shamrock. Now, the shamrock is a clover. It's not a four-leaf clover. It is three, each one in the shape of a heart. And he used that as a metaphor for the Trinity, each leaf representing one of the persons of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the shape of a heart, remembering us of God's love. That's where the shamrock comes from, that is connected to this day. But the truth is, it's all about St. Patrick, or, as his birth name was, Maelwyn Sucket, which isn't nearly as, doesn't roll off the tongue nearly as well as St. Patrick does, because what color would you wear for Maelwyn Day? Probably brown. But anyway, he, like Diaz said earlier, he was born in Britain and was kidnapped by pirates. Now, he was born of a wealthy Christian family that was at least third-generation Christian. We know this because his grandfather was a priest and his father was a deacon. Now, realize that priests in the Catholic Church haven't always remained celibate. And so there was a time until probably the 4th or 5th century that they were allowed to marry. And so St. Patrick's grandfather was, in fact, a priest. But he wasn't overly religious until he was kidnapped and brought to Ireland. And while he was there taking care of the pigs, he thought of it as some sort of punishment for God, from God, because he hadn't been as faithful as he should have been. And so he began to be more faithful. And he reportedly that he prayed over 100 times every day. He was a man of prayer. And during one of these prayers, it came to him that it was time for him to go back to Britain. And so he gets up and he escapes from his captors and walks over 200 miles across Ireland to find a boat to go home. And he shows up to this boat and he says, "I'm supposed to ride with you." And they say, "No, you're not." And so he turns around and leaves, and he prays again, and they reconsidered and called him back over, and he boarded the boat. And for 3 days they were at sea, and then they got off land and began the trek to Britain. And apparently the terrain was horrible and it was like a desert and there was nothing to eat. And so they made this trip and they were starving to death. And so they said to him, "You believe in this God, why don't you pray for some food?" And he did. And about that time, a herd of swine came up, which they killed, and they ate, and they survived. And they were converted because he told them about their God at that point who had given them this food. So he gets home, he begins to study for the priesthood, he becomes a bishop. And then during that time, he has another vision. And this vision is that he is to go back to Ireland to proclaim the good news. And again, this was a pagan land. They didn't believe in Jesus. It wasn't like it is today. It was very much a not Christian place. And so he went back to proclaim Christ. And it's reported that he baptized thousands of people. He ordained priests. And through his influence, the Christian faith spread throughout Ireland. So the reason that we celebrate St. Patrick's Day is not just because it's another excuse for a parade. It's not just so that we can drink Irish whiskey and drink stout beer. It's not so we can wear green because it's so flattering on everyone. No, the reason that we celebrate St. Patrick's Day is because St. Patrick answered God's call. That's what makes him so important. And it directly relates to today's gospel reading because today's gospel reading is all about call. It starts out with these Greeks coming up to Philip and saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Now, you got to understand, Greeks and Jews, they really didn't, especially on religious matters, they didn't talk. They didn't relate to each other. And for Greeks to come up and ask to see Jesus was way out of the ordinary. It was kind of a spectacular thing to show that this wasn't just the Messiah for the Jews. This was the Messiah for the whole world. And so Philip tells Andrew, and Andrew and Philip go and tell Jesus. And this is Jesus' response. The hour has come. And then he starts talking about how if in order for fruit to grow, a seed has to die and bear much fruit. And he goes into this whole spiel about dying, and if you want to lose your life, those who hate their life will save it. And then he goes into all this stuff about what's going to happen and goes, "But what am I to say? God saved me from this hour? No, this is the reason that I came." So what Jesus responds to their invitation to meet him with was, "This is what I'm called to do." Now, we don't know why this is Jesus' response, but what we do know is this is what started in motion the rest of Holy Week. From this point, it all happens. From this moment, the triumphal entry comes, the upper room, the arrest, the crucifixion, and the death of Jesus. And what he says here is, it's time. This is what I'm called to do. Now, it's important to realize that when it comes to call, it could have been easy for Jesus to say, "Yeah, I don't think so, God. Maybe there's another way." Could he have said, "God, save me from this hour"? He says, "No, this is why I came. This was my calling, to give my life for the sake of the world. That's why I'm here." See, calling is of vital importance, not only to us as individuals or us as a congregation. A calling is vital to the entire world. I mean, my friends, just as Patrick was called to Ireland, just as Jesus was called to give his life on the cross, we collectively as a congregation are called. We individually are called. Just a little bit ago, we had our congregational meeting, in which case we presented the 2024 yearbook. And it talked about what happened in 23, but it moves us forward by remembering that.
In addition to that, we installed our call committee. Do you hear that word? Call committee. The purpose of that is to discern what God is saying to this church, who God is calling to be here next. And so as they discern, we join together in prayer because we're all listening for that voice, the voice that Patrick heard, the voice that Christ heard, the voice that we hear. But how do we hear that voice? How do we know what God is calling us to do, whether it be as a congregation or individual? Well, as Patrick prayed 100 times a day, that's where it starts, in prayer, communicating to God. How can we expect to hear what God wants from us if we're not talking to God in the first place? And if we're not listening to what God has to say? And so what we do is we pray. And as we pray, we listen, and we look for signs along the way. We listen for the still small voice in the back of our head, or we listen to the voice of others that may be urging us to step out of our comfort zone and go and do. The second way to know if God is calling us is to take a big look at ourselves. I say it all the time. You are who you are, when you are, where you are, what you are, how you are, for a reason. And as we figure that out, as we figure ourselves out, we begin to clue in on what it is that God is calling us to do. Because I can tell you, God is never going to call me to be a home organizer. I mean, because I can't organize my day, much less somebody's home. That's not my gift. That's not my passions. But let him put me up in front of people. Here we go. Right? And it works the same with all of us. God made you specifically to what you're being called to do. Now, granted, there are different types of callings. There are big callings and there are little callings. And sometimes, I mean, he might be calling you to pick up the phone and give somebody a ring or to write somebody a letter or to just say hi. But sometimes the call is much bigger than that, and he's calling you to change directions in your life, to move, to stay, to go, to come. And so as we listen for that, also as you begin to figure it out, look for signs of validation along the way. It's amazing that when you start answering God's call, how some massive hurdles and blockades somehow just magically, maybe not so magically, tend to get knocked down. But don't think for a minute that just because you're called that it's going to be life on easy street. It wasn't for Patrick. Because do you think the people of Ireland who believed in rocks and trees and sticks actually were going to believe in this guy named Jesus who rose from the dead? Wasn't easy. And it certainly wasn't easy for our Lord who answered his call to give his life and die. But he's called. They were called all the same. And so are you. And so let me urge you to listen for that call and to go and try it out and look for those signs of validation. And then to go and do. Because I want you to think of this. What would have happened in Ireland if Patrick had said no? The people there, would they be Christians today? What if Martin Luther had decided to be a lawyer instead of, like his parents wanted it, and instead of following God's call into the ministry? What if Martin Luther King decided that he wasn't called to share a dream? What if Jesus said no to the call to give his life? You see, a call isn't about just changing your life. It's about changing the world. So here's the question, my friend. What is the world going to miss out on if you don't answer your call? Amen.